want to say to you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want.
I bless you. I love you, baby.
Do you? I want to see you. How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love and sing. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen and amen. You want to see him.
Amen.
After serving all these years, you want to see him, don't you?
Bless.
We see him as much as we can in the word and the things and all of life, but I still want to see him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn back where we've been in Ephesians 1, and then we will go to John 15. Ephesians 1, John 15. Remember now, the Lord willing, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. It's just more or less random questions, so just bring your question, and we will, you know, try to cover whatever we can on the questions of each individual. That way we'll be, you know, just open it up and may go on for a while that way. I'll say, remember then, Brother Quinn will be here preaching for the weekend, so be much in prayer for him. And all. And we're very proud today to have a new citizen of the United States.
Amen.
Sister Trudy, Pastor Tess. Amen. Amen. So she is now one of us. And she always was, but she just now officially, you know, got the paperwork to where she can say she's a U.S. citizen. But we appreciate God, you know, being with her to give her all of the right answers and everything, because it does take a lot of it. Amen. So remember these announcements. Any other announcements am I missing? I generally forget something. Ephesians 1, John 15. Our precious Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, our all in all, and Jesus is your name. Thank you for all of the things, Lord, that you've given unto us. And you said you give them to us freely. And we don't have to pay for nothing. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do anything. We just have to receive it. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being with Sister Trudy there and letting her get her citizenship papers and everything and the work. We're all as well. And Lord, we thank you for all things. We ask you to just bless each one. You promised it because you said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we look into you in believing that, Lord, that you will take care of all things. We love you and we thank you. Forgive our sins because we want to stand complete in you and just let the light of your love be in each one of our hearts. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. We've read this along. We can read it, do it by heart, I guess, can't we? But still, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I don't know where we'll get this far on the scripture with it, but Let's go to John 15:15. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants. Now, what's what he's saying? I call you not servants. See, he had always called them servants coming down. The servants, like the Abraham, et cetera, were called servants. Now he's fixing to change and going over, you know, and call us something else. But he says, I henceforth call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, I know you've already prayed for him, but just remember, especially Brother Dale Ketch there in the time of having the cancer and the things, and you know, the Lord would touch him. Now, I told you what I was going to do there this past weekend, and, you know, I was going to just more or less preach a kind of an overall view of what I was going to be covering. And, you know, we gave a few quotes in, but not to just sit down and grind, you know, and to have an understanding, because that's what we need. We need understanding more than anything in the world, even if it's just natural understanding, because that way then God can quicken it unto our hearts, you know, and he can reveal it, because the disciples, their understanding was opened. And then they went from there to the upper room and received the new birth, which would give them eternal life. But not only that, it would bring to their remembrance what he said. You know, and in other words, reveal what he had said unto them. Because that wasn't done when he just opened their understanding. But, you know, I want our understanding open. I believe that we have the message, as I've kept saying, we're not looking for another message to come. And when I put that in there this past Sunday on it, that, you know, the bride and Christ would unite to bring the message, it's definitely not another message we're talking about. Because we have the message, see, and that's where it's at. So we're not looking for that, but we're looking for things in the message to be revealed. You know, like we had the Bible before the prophet came, right? And we didn't get another Bible after the prophet came. You know, we just get an opening of our understanding. Well, then I want that revealed to where, you know, that I can walk therein, and thank God for the prophet being sent to bring the message unto us. All right. Now, we read here in Ephesians, and that was what our thought is, and we'll use it for a while, chosen in him. There in the scripture it says chosen us in him, specifically stating us, you know. And because Brother Brown said that the church at Ephesus could stand strong meat, and this wasn't written to the sinner, you know, for the sinner to understand. This was written to those that were in Christ and who were walking in the word greater than some of the other places and positions, because, you know, that was the that was what was to be done there. But now notice, now we tried to bring out something, so I want to keep on that until you see what I'm talking about. If you get bored by it, just take a couple of nights off and don't come. You know, or either come here and sleep. Just do either way you want to. You can handle it. But I pray to those that sleep that they will go back and listen to the tapes and things, you know, and try to get an understanding. But now, I told you when I started that series on the predestinations and the things and coming down to adoption and then going through, you know, and the dealings, that I wanted to get back and speak from Ephesians 1 there, because that was what the Lord started revealing some things to me. And, you know, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying about it. and then it's up to God to reveal it to you. But we read that we were chosen in Him. And that the choosing was done before the foundation of the world. All right? So it could not be in any form what we do or don't do, because the choosing was done before we got here. And that's what he said about, Esau and Jacob, said before they were even born or anything. See, he had already, set forth that he loved Jacob and hated Esau. All right. Now, we can get into the long, lengthy point of it, of predestination, foreknowledge, etc. And as I said, now, don't let this in any way destroy the point of former foreknowledge of God and predestinating by his foreknowledge. But remember, as I was trying to say Sunday, when you say foreknowledge, that means knowledge existing before, but it's not knowledge before something is known. It means that. It means foreknowledge. In other words, knowledge before that it would take place, all right? But it doesn't do away with what's going to take place, because it's got to take place. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be a foreknowledge. All right? Then he predestinates according to his foreknowledge. All right? That's all well and good, and we're still there. And we're not losing anything about it, because remember, I gave you a piece of paper with the lines of, eternity and time and things on it, and trying to illustrate it a little to bring it down. But see, we're over here. We're over here in a time belt, all right, trying to comprehend an eternal God. And that's hard to do, because it's not according to our mental mind, all right? But we just have to believe what God says. And then he sent us a prophet to tell us what he said was right. You say, well, we didn't need a prophet to tell us it was right. We could read it. Well, why did we have Trinitarian doctrine? Why did we have eternal hells? And why did we have all of these other things? And why did we have all of that if we didn't need no prophet now? But see, we show up our own selves. All right. But notice now, I kept emphasizing that we were chosen in him, not by him. Because if you're chosen by him, then you would run it into a respecter of persons. All right? Now, I hope you followed this one point. I tried to emphasize as much as possible that you could say, but now what is foreknowledge was, is he looked down here and saw we'd want to be saved, so he had it for us. Amen. Amen. I agree with you. But you realize that God will not override your free moral agency. So he will not save you if you do not want to be saved. All right? So then, if we just say, well, it's all just by foreknowledge, well, then it's foreknowledge that you made a choice. Because if you didn't choose him, his choosing of you, now he's going to have to override your free moral agency. If he makes you take it. But see, we want to lay on it that we think we understand, but do we understand? I mean, is there something like me comes along and blasts away all of our thoughts about it? Well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, to make us settle down to think about it. Even error sometimes is good, because it'll make you, there must needs be heresies among you that they to reprove may be made manifest, the Bible says. All right? So then if I'm in error, maybe it'll help you. But, I don't believe so. I believe that I see something and I'm trying to break it down into human language and break down the barriers that we've had about our language, our brains being sealed off and set. Like I heard a man say one time, he said, our thoughts are crystallized on this. Well, now, you know what crystallized brake shoes are? You throw them away. I mean, you can sand them all you want to. Cause we used to have to do that. I know, when we was young, we had to take them and they get crystallized a little, and we'd buff them and they'd work for a little while. But they still wasn't no good. It'd come right back. But see, If you're crystallized on something, that means you're not going to listen. You say, well, I know about how the choosing was, and I know how the predestination is, and I'm just not going to... Well, you won't get anything. Because I'm going to say it, and I know it hurts feelings like this, but 99% of that people who would think that away was people that says, I believe in a Trinity, ain't no way you're going to convince me no other way. Well, now, you might out-argue them and get them into the message, but what do you got? You got Trinitarians in the message. Because they're here. You know, I get some tickled about, say, like the River Jordan people, and they say, y'all ain't nothing but a bunch of oneness. Well, if you got Jesus wasn't God to the River Jordan, you're a two-ness. See? And you're saying, we're oneness. Well, I'd rather be oneness. That's closer to the truth than two-ness. You know, but anyhow, I'm not upset with nothing. I've got to the point that I just see that people are not going to understand unless God reveals it. And we'll get back to that scripture where that Jesus said, you know, that no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. We'll get to that eventually and bring it out. But I was trying to dwell upon the basis of chosen in him. And like I said, if he looked down through time and he saw you make a choice, which he did. All right. See? Now he saw you make a choice. Well, then where's your chosen in him? That would be chosen by him. See, if he sits back here and he looks through time and he sees you making the choice, he sees you wanting to be saved, all right, then he's dealing upon what you want. So he's dealing upon your choice. You know, I said, write questions down about it. I'd love to talk to you about it. But see, the Bible said we were chosen in him. All right? And Brother Brown said, now, when he was chosen, we was chosen. I gave you that quote. All right? But see, then, all I was trying to get an expression to you about is, and I said, don't lose all these things, because God did look down through time. That's predestination. It's to sit back here and be able to be God and look all the way down through and see everything. That's perfectly right. See? And then it all comes into view. See, if we take a one-sided view and we bring everything and put it all up into here and leave it up there, that we don't have a choice, because look at Paul. He just didn't have a choice. He got knocked down and was made take it. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't believe it. See? I'm just, you know. But see, then if we go to the other side of it, well, it was all in what we chose. See? Well, now you're going both ways. See? You're going to a basis of losing the Bible, and you can't use the quotes that Brother Branham uses backwards and forth. All right? But if we look at it correctly, then look what a marvelous thing it is. I wanted that at the end of the service, but I know I took so much time on the other, I didn't have time to explain it. You know, your children are your children, right? Whether good or bad, whatever they are, they're your children. There's no way to deny them. I mean, who in the world would want to deny a child of theirs? Even the worst that it could be, they wouldn't want to deny their child. You know, there would be no form of that. In my mind, I wouldn't maybe agree with my children about a lot of things, but there's no way in the world that any of them could ever sin enough to make me to where that I wouldn't have let the world know that I was their father. Well, you mean murder? There's just no way. Why? Because they're my children. They're my offspring. All right? And see, but the point of it is, they're still your children, right? And you love them. But what about when you're just like we are as a family? It's just wonderful to me now. And Brother Quinn, I think, was the one that said it. I'm not certain. But somebody said one day at the house, said, Brother Dale's just sitting there and looked at you. Said, you were just sitting there looking over, because we do. We get together at the house, and we'll just everyone be in the living room. And we're just laughing and talking and having a big time and just going on, you know, and eating together and fellowshipping. And he said, I was looking at you and said, you're just looking over your heritage and you're just grinning. I said, yeah. Because I'm very proud of my heritage of my family. Huh? I'm very proud that they have chose to first to serve the Lord. That's the number one. Two, they have chosen to try to be good, at least human morally, you know. And they wanted work for a living. They want to do, and they want to help and do anything, and they're good to help other people. And you know what? That makes me think a lot of them. I'm hoping that that was part of my point and my wife's part of being instilled into them, you know, as to the way of going. All right? And, you know, that makes me very proud. Well, my point is this, that when God looks down, if he just made you do something, and then you done it because you said, well, God, you made me do it, and I done it anyway. There's no rewards there. He's not pleased with that form of a child. But he's pleased with one when they see the word and want to follow the word and want to, you know, learn the word and walk in the word. That makes him very proud of his children. You know, and you say, well, is he proud? Well, he was so proud with Job until he said, Satan? Have you considered my servant Job? He's proud of that. You know what he's fixing to do? Turn him loose, let the devil get him. Right? Do you know what? He's very proud of him. Sure, he could look through at the end and see what Job was going to do. But Job couldn't. So he had to let Job make the choice and let Job live the life and come through it to where he could come to him and contact him. But he was very pleased with that. God is pleased to let us go through trials and troubles and problems and heartaches and to see us come out of it acting correctly. And as we always say, then if we don't, then we just get another test. You know, we're going to go back through it again and all until we get the whole thing correctly the way God wants it. All right. But see, that way I was trying to make the emphasis that by you choosing God, you say, but we didn't choose God. God chose us. I know the Bible. We went through that. I know what the prophet is saying. But I also know that he don't override your free moral agency. So he gave you a choice. And you made the right choice. Danny Henry to Brother Branham, you've made the right choice. And because of this, a great portion of heaven awaits you. Abraham, you've made a great choice. I'll make you the father of nations. Abraham made a choice. He didn't have to leave, what was it, Gerea, or what it was there. He didn't have to leave out of that place. He could have stayed right there. But see, God told him, you won't go do that. He said, I'll go do it. See, that's my whole part of a Christian life. Is we do have something to do with it on this side. Now, salvation, no. Salvation's of the Lord. We didn't save ourselves by being good. That's my whole point I'm trying to get to you. He didn't look down through there and see how good we would be and say, I'll save Dick Addison because I know he'll be good. No, he looked down and seen how bad he was. But then he looked down there and he seen, well, all I got to do is cross his path. He may not jump all at once and grab everything, but said, I can cross his path. Well, he also knew that he could cross everybody else's path. And I told you, and I believe it, that Brother Brown said, everybody has got that longing within them, every human being, because of a soul that's in that individual. You go to the Hottentots of Africa to where they've never seen or heard of Jesus Christ or God or anything like that. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping animals. They're because of a soul that's within that individual that longs after the Creator because they realize they're creation. You see, then that's the whole thing. Right? But now, let's get down into... See, we tried to cover that we were chosen in Him. All right? Now, I ask you a simple question. Who's the Him? You remember that? It was a simple question. If we were chosen in Him... Who's the Him? Now we know that we are chosen, and we know that you know it's only to line up the word correctly, that if somebody made a choice, see, well, what do we use the word choice about? See, we say we were chosen in him. Okay, who's the him? All right. And then, who was the one that made the choice for this other seemingly person or whatever to make a choice? See, it seemed like Trinitarianism. So then our word choice or choosing is not always the way that we think it is. See? All right, are you with me now? If there's any problem, raise your hand there and I'll go back through it and just do the best I can because I want you to understand this. We were chosen in him. Who's the him? See, if you're total oneness, you cannot comprehend the Bible. But if you're a Trinitarian, you can't comprehend the Bible. And surely we don't want to go in the middle and say that I'm a God in three persons, you know, because that's Trinitarianism. But who's the him? That's a simple question. Well, questions gender strife, you know. You quote scripture, can't you? Yeah. Brother Brown said a church questions made a strong church. Right? So it evidently is not what we think it is on that basis. That it's all right to ask questions because that's the way we learn. All right? So who's the him? We know for certain that we were chosen in somebody because it says him. Now, what is, him is a pronoun, but it means takes the place of a noun. So we know that what we're talking about here is chosen in Christ. Right? Now, see, it's like I said, I didn't have enough time Sunday. I've just laid a foundation to go across and come back. Now, we know we wasn't chosen in Jesus, the flesh. Now, we will get to it later that we were in him. While he was in flesh, or we will never be. All right? Now, but Jesus, the flesh man, wasn't back there. So we were chosen in Christ. All right? And did God make a decision to send somebody else down to fulfill his plan and purpose? Or did he come himself? So then we talk about the great Elohim, the self-existing one who dwelt alone. And see, then we take the prophet's message because that's the only way we have of doing it. We're not theologians who can go back. But even the great things I like to read, even Scofield will have enough to understand that he would call the first part that would come out of God, he would call it the Logos speech or Word or Son of God. Because they had that much understanding about the terminologies of words. But, see, we were chosen in him. Alright? Now, as I said, did God look down in Christ? Did he choose him to come? Or was that him that came in another form? All the great teachings Brother Branham made about it, see? That it was not another God. The great pillar of fire that went out, the Logos, the theophany, the speech, the word, was not another God. It was God in another form. Called a son, he said. Or called Christ. All right? So now then, it's not one choosing another one to do. That's what we use the word choosing, like meaning that, you know, I'll choose Brother Colley, but I won't choose Brother Anderson. See? That's choosing. That's us doing it. But what about a God could look down through time and see himself existing in time in both of the individuals at the same time? That's a whole lot different. See, chosen. Not somebody choosing, no, he chose to condescend. Is that the way the prophet brought it? God chose to condescend down to earth, all the way down through, took him 4,000 years through the Old Testament, descending through the pillar of fire, the thing, and finally coming into flesh. And he chose to do that, but that didn't end his choosing. Because in him could be all the attributes of healer, savior, all like that, but somebody had to be sick. Somebody had to be lost. So then the parts that would take care of the rest of it is not just a foolish virgin, a group of people, or people upon earth that could grab something. And they do, and that's wonderful that they get healings and things. But God chose to come this way. All right. And when he looked down upon that form of himself, because that's where people don't, I know me and Brother Gary, we get into this pretty heavy sometimes. But, you see, I have no trouble whatsoever with one form of God praying to another form of God. Form, you understand what I said? Because Jesus prayed, right? He prayed to his Father. And he was God manifested in flesh. You say, well, he's just praying inside of him. No, he didn't say he was. He said his Father was in heaven. And he was speaking to him. And he prayed mightily to his Father. Even to the basis of saying, you know, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You say, well, that was just the flesh. Well, all right. God was in that flesh. But see, then, I don't have any trouble with looking back at God as before the world, a great Elohim, the great self-existing, and realize that there's things about God that we're not going to receive while we're in this world. And that's what your prophet said. He said he would give us a message of cheer down to the endless ages. If it wasn't for these quotes, I couldn't preach what I'm preaching. Right? Because none of us would have any common sense to even talk about it. But by saying what he says, that we're just getting enough of God here, enough understanding and things. To me, is when we get there to be able to understand. And it's just a way of looking at something. So then, he chose to condescend. And his first condescending was in theophany, our word form, to be able to create. All right? Now we know, and I've been over it and over it. Brother Brown said, who is this Melchizedek? We bypassed our theophany. All right? Because that was a word body that was standing there. Not just a myth or a form or whatever. It's a word body. All right. We didn't come that way as individual people. But if we wasn't in him, how will we ever have eternal life? Foolish virgins and people like that can be given eternal life, but they have no part to do with him. It's only by impartation. It is not by a new birth. A lot of difference in an impartation of eternal life or be given something than someone to receive it. All right. But you see, then, If we were chosen in Him when He was here in the Word, if we wasn't in that Word, the prophet said, we'll never be here. He said that was Almighty God in another form. Right. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Did God look down and see His Son do the way He wanted Him to do it? He said, I chose Him. No. That's what I'm trying to get you to see.
Right.
He didn't look down and see Him and say, oh,
no. Right.
He's my Son. And these others are my sons too. So I'll choose Him, He can choose the rest of them. No. That's what I'm saying. Do we understand one God? If that word form, theophany, whatever you want to call it back there, Son of God, that stood before the world and said, let there be, if that was not Almighty God, then where are we at? Huh? But see, if that was Almighty God, then it was the form He was using. And then when it says, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we believe that. And your prophet says it bright in the end time.
Amen.
She will be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you believe those quotes?
Amen.
Huh? But does that do away with God? When we say, oh, God was, He poured into Christ. Does that do away with God? No, that's what we think. We think it's like taking water and it's in a glass. We pour it over another glass. There it is. Then we say, oh, God, oh, Christ in the church, and we take that and pour it over in another glass, and we got two empty glasses to throw away. I don't see it that way. I'm sorry. I don't see it that way. I see every time God opened that glass and poured it over into another, that it magnifies Him, that it increases Him, that it makes Him greater and greater. Because He's got more offsprings. More ability to express Himself.
Yeah.
I've always told you, He could give every person over 7 billion in the world today. He could give every person in the world today eternal life. Would that do away with God? No, that would multiply. That would multiply God. There's something coming up now, and I don't understand it, so I'm going to go ahead and say it as best I can. All right? I'm just telling you, I don't mind. But this is going through my mind. We are the body of Christ. Is that the Bible? Huh? Members in particular. Right? One's a hand, one's a foot, one's this, you know. Right? Because we're the body of Christ. All right. The same Bible says that we are His wife. That we're the bride of Christ. Right? The same Bible says that we are God made manifest. Now that's, I mean, that's, how many things can we put in there that the Bible will show us to be?
Right, come on. Right.
True?
Right.
But see, we're just the same people. We're members of His body.
Right.
He's the head of the body.
Right?
Right. We are His wife, His bride.
Right.
We're His children.
Right.
Right? Does that make it confusing? If it does, we need to pray right there. As I said, something's going to unfold there, and I wait for that because I realize it.
Amen.
See? Because we've got to see all of the things that we are. But to see that we are exactly what we are, and it's what I was trying to express Sunday.
Amen.
We're not another God.
Right.
We're not another person.
Right.
It's either God made manifest in a bride form, which is the body of Christ, which is the children of God, and all in all to be one, or we sure have missed the whole plan.
Amen.
Right? So then as we read and we study, then don't get confused about, well, that's just saying we're a body. See? But see, we were chosen in Him. And when He was in word form, who was He? Almighty God. With an earthly terminology is being used of calling Him the Word. You know, human words. We can call Him Logos, Theophany, etc. As I said, then, there He was in that Theophany word body. Standing there, looking to me just exactly like He looked when He was back there with Abraham. And when Moses saw the back part. And the same one that stood on the shores of Galilee.
Amen.
And then Brother Branham in the Bible says if we wasn't in Him when He walked the shores of Galilee, we never will be in Him.
Amen.
See?
Right.
You see why it's took so many years to preach the Godhead to the place that we can understand?
Right.
We've needed all these 40 years or more. To try to express the point of trying to get it down to understand. See, we looked at that like we're chosen in Him. Well, He chose Jesus and Jesus chose us. We're in Him. That's the way it is. Let's go home. Oh, we really glory. Hallelujah. We know all about it.
Amen.
And that's as Trinitarian as any Trinitarian doctrine could ever be. Did you choose in any way to be who you are? I'm talking natural now. Now, Brother Dean, did you figure out some way to be able to make it down to what you look like you look? I don't think so. Not meaning he's ugly and won't need something else changing, but, you know, get you to life a little where you'll think. We didn't have anything to do with our natural choosing. Right? We never had anything to do with our spiritual choosing. Now, we're back before the world, okay? We done been over here on this side and see that we must choose Him. We must accept Him. We must do those things. That's got to be done. But then we'll see that all the time it was Him coming after us. Did Jesus have a choice of being Jesus? Or was He Almighty God? Which one is it? He was either Almighty God or the biggest deceiver the world's ever seen, the prophet said. And see, that holds together the one God. As we talked about the oneness, see, they say He's one like a finger, or Jesus was the final form of God. Well, I don't agree with that. I believe the bride of Christ is the final form of God on this side of the earth. You know, this side of the time gaps and things. And even we're going to be so great until even the foolish virgins will get eternal life. And even the fifth seal Jews and the things that goes to them, they still will not be the bride of Jesus Christ. They will still not be His body. They will still not be His offspring. They will only have eternal life by impartation. And if you and I hadn't have come the way we did, they wouldn't be here. How would they have got here? it hadn't have been a fall in the garden and for us to come the way we come, how would anybody be here that doesn't have eternal life today? How would they be here? It's not in it. God's plan and purpose was to reveal himself to man, his own creation. All right. Now, was he trying to reveal himself to his creation? Now, listen. Or was he trying to reveal himself to his children? And we know we are his creation, okay? You get the point of what I'm saying. Did he just choose to reveal himself to all mankind? No. He chose to reveal himself to his children. And all mankind then could reap the benefits of that being done. He didn't come to save all the world. He would that they would be saved. But he come to save only those. Now we're going to get back to a little word, and I'm not going to spend much time on it tonight because it'll take a whole message. What does redeem mean? It means to go back where you came from. And Brother Branham said only the predestinated is considered in redemption. Only the seed of Abraham. What is the seed of Abraham? Not Jews. The faith seed of Abraham. You see why it's so much of trying to express and to explain. And I do. It doesn't matter to me if I spend 6 months on this one thought. As long as we get it and understand what is being said, it'll open the entire Bible. The prophet's message will open. All the things will open if we just realize who we are and what we're doing. And then we can see that, yes, we was. He was here in this world. And we as young people or something, maybe in life, and we started crying and praying for God to save us. And come find out, it was God choosing us. God seeking us. The goodness of God, the scripture said, lead us to repentance. Not teaching, my wife and I were talking today about this, that, you know, most preachers preach about how bad everything is, and they preach on dress and hair and clothes and wrong to be a homosexual and wrong to be a this and a wrong to be that, and you ought not be a Muslim and you ought not be a Hindu and you ought not be a mutt, you ought not be none of these. You know, we need to all be Christians. But their form of Christianity is believing their word or them. Why don't you preach the gospel, brothers, and get the people converted? I thought it was preaching the gospel. I thought Jesus was the gospel. I mean, I didn't know it was our do's and don'ts was the gospel. I thought it was Jesus Christ. See, that's why I don't preach like these other preachers preach. I'm just sorry. You can get you another one. Because, see, I'm just not made to preach like that. I didn't get saved that way. I didn't get saved by somebody telling me how bad I was. I didn't have any trouble. I already knew it. Didn't you? I sure didn't think I was going to heaven because how good I was. That's why I was 18 years old before I was even converted in the Baptist church, because I seen what the way they were trying to bring us. They were not trying to bring us to Christ. They were trying to bring us to a church or a group or a situation or some doctrine or rules or regulations or some creed to quote. That's why I told them. You know, I've told you many times. When they come to me about coming to church, I said, listen, I live a better life as a sinner than a lot of your deacon board does. And, bud, they wouldn't argue with me about it. Because they knew that I could quote pretty good about their deacons. And you know what? I found one day where the prophet made a statement about it. And I realized that was me. He said, you know, you got to get over the church to be saved. Now, don't ask me to do that. It's a paraphrase form. But you've got to get over the church to be saved. And I realized that was what the problem was. You know what was in my way? The church. I'm just honest and tell you, when I joined that Baptist church, I had to come to that realization, Lord, get away, let me get from this, that's our business. It's between me and you, Lord. It's not me and you and all these and how good they are. But you see, get off of it. God chose to condescend. All right? And I got a quote in here somewhere. If not, I got one at the house where Brother Brown said, God knew his first little bride in the garden, Eve, would fall. All right? He knew that. Or else he wasn't God. But here's the rest of the story. He said he knew, but there was a bride that was predestinated not to fall. Do you see? We got to get saved before we have the ability to fall.
Right.
All right. But you see, he condescended downward to reveal himself. As I said, sure, the whole world has the ability to the people that's never heard have a longing within their heart and a desire to serve some form of a creator, no matter how much they call themselves atheists, I call them idiots. Because if you say you're an atheist and don't believe in God, you believe you're greater than God. So that solves a problem. But you see, he knew that this would be. But he knew there was a little bride. He knew there was a little, and the Brother Branham is covering the story a lot, right? That there was a little old eagle that had a couple of eggs. Right? She knew she had a couple of eggs. And one of them got missing. Now, he doesn't tell both got missing now, because you have a problem. One of them got missing. It wound up in a chicken yard. And that's where we were. He knew he had children that would wind up in this world in a lost condition, doomed, and on our way to hell. Because we would be mortal people under sin. You can't make an eternal sinner. Don't try to give eternal life to a sinner. No, it doesn't work. Because you'd have an eternal sinner. And see, then, as he would do that, then that little eagle would be an attribute of God. Right? That little eagle was a child of that eagle that was flying. With no chicken. Never was a chicken. Just born to a chicken. Well, now, Brother Dale, the only problem with the way you bring things is you bring it down to we always was eternal. Now, I've never taught you that, so don't go off on it. I've always taught you, and I'll give you the quotes through here in a little bit if I have time. If don't, we'll take them up next Wednesday or whenever we get back. You know yourself that I've always taught you you got to have the new birth to have eternal life. So don't think you come into the world with eternal life in you that you don't need eternal life. You come into the world with a seat of representation from predestination that God knew you would want eternal life and he had it for you. But that didn't mean you come into the world with eternal life. Well, I got quotes. Well, go ahead and quote. All right, go on. Just remember, you're going to come back to the basis that the prophet said you get eternal life right here at the altar. You're going to come back to the basis, were we spirits, Brother Branham? No, we wasn't nothing. We were just in his thinking. So you're going to have to come back and face those, or you're going to have to say he was wrong on them. So go ahead and do what you want to. You ain't going to change. I'm not trying to change nobody. I'm trying to preach the gospel, let God convert us all. You see what I'm talking about? What is an attribute? We hit it just a little bit. I want to hit it just a little bit tonight. What is an attribute? Now, Brother Branham said in God was attributes. He said it was in him to be a healer, to be a Savior, to be a deliverer, to be all of the things we see the Bible, the advocate, the unction, the teachers, the all of the things that we would ever find in the Bible that would be related to God would be an attribute of God. And he had that before the world ever begun. He didn't become a healer. He just displayed that healing factor. He didn't become a Savior. He displayed that upon earth. See? But yet in him was attributes. What is an attribute? Brother Brown said it's a part of God. Right? He said it's a part of God. I've got a quote in here. We'll get to it in a minute. If I don't, I'll get to it later. Brother Branham said that Jesus was a offspring of God. Well, that's two people. See? That's Father, Son. Not if that offspring is God. You ain't got two people. Now get what I'm talking about, attributes. So we're just going to go through these things, and if I have to, I'll take months on just each one of the words, just one thing at a time. It don't bother me. We've had 40-something years. I don't think you ought to worry about it now. You know, maybe we're getting old enough to sit down and listen. Maybe we've run our course enough to get through things. Got so tickled the other day hearing Brother Branham when he was said it. You get it, listen to it. He explains the four stages of life. He said from 1 to 25, and 25 to 50, 50 to 75, 75 to 100. He said, it's all right down here on that 1 to 25 if you're out running around after women. That may be a paraphrase, but it's there. You know, well, I always tell you, you marry, 90% of marriage is hormonal factors, however how you say those words, you know. You know, no, it was love at first sight. No, it was hormones working in both of you. Then you learn to love. Yeah. You know, you marry for lust. You say, no, we married. You see, you don't understand me, so go ahead. You know it's true. But listen, if we are his attributes, yeah, then his attributes are eternal. That's what I said. I won't preach on that. You say, well, I got you now, because ain't no such thing as eternal healing. You better back up just a little bit and wait, because one of these days these bodies going to be changed, and that'll be eternal healing if you don't want to even take that far. But you're healing, if you're healed today and die tomorrow, you are eternally healed today. I'll get back and preach on that one of these years, because I just saw what Brother Branham, he said, even as a healer, he's eternal. See, that's why we don't look at it that way. We quote, by his stripes, I hope I'm healed. By his stripes, I think I'm healed. By his stripes, maybe I'm healed. That's why we're not healed. But when we look at it just as well as we say, but we don't dare do that about our salvation, right? We don't dare say, I think I'm saved, I hope I'm saved, maybe I'm saved. Well, one of these, well, maybe, you know, no, we don't do that now. We've got away from that. We want to anchor that in good, because that has to do with eternity. But if the atonement is made, I thought by his stripes we were healed, was the same as wounded for my transgressions, bruised for iniquity, and with his stripes we were healed. I thought it was all one atonement. He eternally healed us. I know you can be sick and you need healing again. I know all about that. But you're not listening. See? We're talking about eternal life. See? Jesus was the very attribute of God. You know why? Because he was God. Right? He was God. Because he was that attribute. He was love. He was joy. He was all the thing. All that was in God is placed into Christ. Not another God. I mean, if I've gone out of oneness, y'all just go ahead. But I've never heard of oneness preached like this, so I'm not worried about it. But listen, look at your first notes you got there. And I told you now that I was going to be using the new 210 version. Okay? The, what do you call it? The table? That's what it's called, the table. It's a new version. Because of having to transfer everything over here to be able to get into the computer system. All right? Because it just won't work. Trying to put all of our stuff. In other words, Brother Joe's got to go back there and go into the message, get it over here, come back over here and get it over here, pull it back over here to be able to get it in the message. So I've changed, and I'm using that. And the reason you'll know, if you look out there at the beginning right up there, you see that little thing looks like a speaker. Well, what that means is if you got that version and you can connect on, you can just click on that and Brother Brown will read that to you. Yeah. That's what that little speaker thing means. If you just click on it, and he'll read it to you. Yeah. And things. So it'll help you. But, you know, if anybody would like to get the other version of the 2010, we will try our best to help you to get what, you want. And while I'm talking about on the Jorgensen book, I told them the other day at home that we would buy all the books for anybody that wants the books. The Jorgensen book, the number 6. We will buy the book. But now if you want the cassettes, the CDs that goes with it, you're going to have to buy it. So, go ahead and tell Sister Lisa whatever. And if you want it, say, well, I can't afford it. You do it. We'll buy the book for you. But we won't buy the CDs because they're a little more expensive to have to buy those MP3s or what it's on. But all right, we'll do that. But listen, look what your prophet had to say now. On the message, identified Christ of all ages, preached in 1964, 401, which would be paragraph 1. Go down to the middle, what's underlined. He is now in you. You are his attributes. Watch him. If you've got eternal life, now there's a question. Right? Your life always was. Now that's not your natural life, right? That is not your natural life. Well, I think that's my natural life. No, that's not. I'm sorry. What do you need Jesus for if you don't know those things? Listen. And you was God's thinking. Listen to him. The color of your hair. Now, sisters, I'd be careful about dyeing my that color. Original color. You're not going to be a brunette here in the world and get over there and be in a glorified body and be black-headed. It certainly ain't going to be gray-headed. So, go ahead. I'm saying it's men, too, because a lot of men dye their hair, too, so that's just as well. All right. So the Bible says you can't add one hair to your, what is it? One cubit, see? And you can't add a hair to you. Because God's going to give you all that. Well, then you can't add any colors because it's going to come back original. You may fool us while you're here, but when we get over there, Joyce, we're going to know it's the same color. Right. Okay. Get you to laugh a little bit to raise you up just a hair. All right? Sometimes you get this kind of tight. All right. Listen. He is now in you. You are his attributes. If you've got eternal life, your life always was. And you was God's thinking, the color of your hair, whatever you are, you was God's thinking, and you're just materialized. And that's what God was when he was materialized in Christ. God displayed, manifested in flesh in Christ. He became material that we could touch. See, then he goes to 1 Timothy, going through. All right. Though we're his attributes. And an attribute of God is eternal. All right? Well, see, we didn't come into the world with eternal life. If we did, we don't need Jesus. All that would be in vain, see? All you need to know is a knowledge you had eternal life. I believe we must come here and receive eternal life. But that eternal life that you receive always was eternal. We won't get to it tonight, but we got a lot of it in here. Always was eternal. Jesus was God's attribute. And we are just God's attribute being displayed. Now, we're not going to hurt nobody's feelings, I hope. You see, the foolish virgin given eternal life is not an attribute of God. That's an attribute that would be displayed because of the situation of life that we exist in and, you know, be given unto them. You understand me? So they are not part of it. Everybody in the world is a child of God by creation. Right? By creation, God permitted us to come into flesh, no matter how many billion, trillions of what they are in the world, or never will be. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about His children. The children, as I said a moment ago, you can believe in birth control all you want to. I laugh at people that talk about birth control. So just remember, when you start talking about your birth control, I'm laughing at you. I don't mean that wrong. I just mean it's truth. We're going to be held accountable for what we do with the functions we have of the abilities, whatever you want to call that without getting too far into it. But you tell me there's going to be a bunch of bodies left up there, you know, around here in the world, and there ain't no souls to put in them, or there's a bunch of souls, you know, and no bodies for them to go in. Now, I don't agree with that. Who was it now? Some of it, you don't have to tell who it was, but it's around here that there was a man and a woman both. Both of them had the vasectomy for the man and whatever you call it, tubes tied for the woman. Both of them had it. And you know, now they got a child. You say, well, what it was, she was slipping around. Well, her tubes got untied some way. You know. Right? See, it's no such thing as birth control. I said we will be responsible for what we do with the functions that God give us. But there's no such thing as birth control. We can't control birth. God controls birth. Now, I keep saying it. We'll be responsible for what we do with things. You say, bless God, we just ain't going to have no kids. Well, you might get a surprise one day. You know? Those things do happen. You know? Because I don't think we're in a modern civilization. I remember a brother here one time preaching how that Joseph, you know, when he went down into slavery, you know, and down into Egypt for slavery, said, see, they always castrated all the slaves. You know, I got up behind him. I said, well, I just can't help it. But I said, come find out. He had two kids. They must have known some way to restore that castration. That's not a joke. It's just showing we don't play with God. But don't play with His word either, because it'll face us. We think this looks good because we read that all the servants had to be. And then come find out Joseph was a servant, and there he was. Why was Potiphar's wife after him if he was just... Come on. But you see, we think we know what we're talking about. Because we've heard this. Brother so-and-so talk. I don't care who saw it. You, me, or who it is. What does it say about the word? Come on. All right? Now, we believe that Jesus was the very attribute of God, because He was God. All right? You and I are the display upon earth as by salvation now, receiving salvation. We become the attributes of God upon earth. Amen. Called a bride, the body, the church, the people, the children, all of those words we were using a while ago, husband, I mean the wife, the bride. But you see, then, that doesn't make Trinitarianism. Because
right.
You're not one person and God another.
Right.
You got a problem there.
Right.
If he was God made manifest in flesh, by the new birth, we become God made manifest in flesh.
Amen.
There's where our human mind can't follow that strong enough. You say, brother, you get a little too strong. No, that's not strong enough.
Oh my.
All right? Do we believe that point? Now let me get another one, then we'll tie it up on this one. You believe that Jesus was an offspring of God?
Yes.
All right. Now, was he a son of God? A second person?
Yes.
Or was he God made manifest in another form?
Right.
Called a son.
Right.
And that would make him an offspring. Now the Bible says he's the only begotten of the Father. Right? Now he was begotten by impartation, by creation, by who he was. Now I'm quoting Brother Branham. He was an offspring of God. God in another form, called a son. He was the only begotten, the scripture says. So now if we wasn't in him, in how he was begotten. You agreed a while ago now. Are you still agreeing with me? If we wasn't in him. The only way to have eternal life. How was he begotten? Now naturally he was begotten into the womb and that brought the body of Mary. Right? But spiritually he was begotten in the form that he stepped over into to become the Word. So he's the only begotten. You know what? You and I are begotten by him. Nah, but wait a minute, Brother Dale. I've heard you say 4,000 times that we're not a son of Jesus that was a son of God. I'll say it again. We're not a son of Jesus that was a son of God. There's no such thing. Because that'd make eternal sonship. We don't agree with it. But see, he had in him what we have to have to be a child of God.
Amen.
You agree? He had in him what I have to have. He was begotten. And if I wasn't in him that way, I never will be. So I'll give you a quote there where Brother Brown gives it on Believest Thou This, 1950, 716. Remember, Jesus had all the qualities of the Father in him. Do you believe that? Sure he did. All the fine gifts of God was in Christ, his Son, for he was the offspring of God. And he goes on to say, when I see, he didn't use any of his gifts against Satan. So he used the Word because he knew how to handle it. All right. But he was the offspring of God. What a wonderful thought. God having children. But see, we're tied up into the human element of our thinking.
Right.
For me to have a child, I had to have a wife. Sensible? Yeah, no problems, right? I mean, it generally takes two. Like Brother Brown said, that's why that they can't do it with all this business about, said, you know, remember talking to the man, said, well, what it was, said it was just a polywog, and then it was this and a wog. And he said, now, according to your science, it takes a male and a female to bring forth a child, whatever you want to call it, worms, whatever. And the man said, yeah, that's right. He said, well, then who was the wife of the polywog? You know, In other words, where'd the polywog come from? Had to be a male and female something to bring a polywog. Right? Because it takes a male and a female to bring a child. Then the man couldn't answer him. See, because that destroyed his polywog. His polywog was just a one form amoeba, what do you call it, amoeba family, one side. Well, then how can a one-sided thing ever produce a two-sided? Oh, it just rolled over on this other side and growed an arm, and it growed over here and growed a leg, and it growed... Yeah. But listen. He was an offspring. He was God in another form. Right? And whatever as I said that I have to have, and even me being, I had to be there. Brother Brown said, we walked the shores of Galilee in Him. Now click your mind. Was James and John and Peter and them, they was walking beside of Him. Right? But Jesus said, I chose you. Right. You was in me. Come on. Now what was that talking about? Not the human flesh. It was standing right there walking along there. Right. See, we can get over into the great understanding that we are over here where we could have been some way of genetics. You know, now, well, then Peter, James, and John and them were standing right there beside of Him. Right. But you see, what was in Him is what Peter needed.
Right.
You agree?
Right.
What was in Jesus was eternal life. And that's what Peter needed to make him a child.
Right.
And that's 3 years of sowing the ministry that it took the Lord Jesus to get Peter and them ready to be able to bring them forth as child, as to bring children on the earth on the day of Pentecost to where he could expand himself.
Right.
And bring it forth. Okay? Now, we'll back up because we're not going to be able to finish it. Let me just get that next one, number 3, on your notes. And then we'll get back, we'll come right back to this offspring, and you just keep these notes, and, you know, if you don't, we'll print off some more. But keep them if you can till next Wednesday. Brother Brown said, an identified masterpiece of God preached in 19 in Yuma, Arizona, 1964, 1205. Now we notice that God began to make him a bride for Christ. So, and the bride must be identified with him and in him because it is part of him. Now, the bride is part of him. She is part of him. The word for that day, the bride becomes part of that word for it's Christ. Now, you believe that? Congregation says amen. I ain't heard amen yet. Okay. We have to be in Christ. In Christ. We have to be of Christ, in Christ, part of Christ. Now, I didn't miss reading that. You, all right? What did he say? Well, we have to be of Christ, in Christ, part of Christ. That don't leave nothing out, does it? That brings us over in this world. We can accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we can be of Christ, and we can be in Christ, and we can be back before the world, and we can have the morning stars sing together, the sons of God shouted for joy. We can have all of that. So what is a woman when she takes a man or a man takes a woman? That woman has to be part of him. They're no longer two, they're one. And when God and Christ became one, they were one. Because God was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the flesh and the word became one. And when the church becomes Christ's bride, she and the gospels are the same. How can you say then the days of miracles is past? How can you say it? when you're a part of him. Now, a couple of years down the road, we get back on that quote. How can you say the days of miracles is past if you're a Christian? Brother Brown said a Christian believes in the supernatural. Believes in the supernatural. A Christian. How can a Christian say the days of miracles is past? See where we get into trouble? We'll say, I just don't see much going on. Well, are we a doubting God? I see the greatest of all things taking place. A bride getting ready to meet her Savior. Learning about him like, Eliezer going after a bride and bringing back Rebecca. Okay, I'll get the right name. When Rebecca got there, she knew so much about what he looked like, she didn't have to be told. She jumped off the camel, took off running. She saw him out in the field. She knew who that was. She knew if he sent after her, she didn't have to put on no gown. She didn't have to take a bath. Right? Remember, this would have had to have been somewhere up in the day. And she rode that camel that day. You ever smelled a camel? We were over in Israel, and they were selling things, you know. Well, I asked a fella, and he said, this is a camel belt. And I said, how in the world do I know that thing was made from a camel? He said, here, smell of it. He solved the problem. But I had a chance to ride on a camel for a few minutes. 3 months that woman rode that camel. I don't care whether two hump or one hump or what hump, how many humps it had. This is the way we went. I wanted it to run wide open because maybe it would smooth out, but that sucker was just like that. 3 months. Now you know what I'm talking about. Just trying to be sensible. If they got up in the morning and they started riding and maybe they rode 2 hours or 4 hours or 8 hours or how many hours, she smelled like everything else. But it doesn't say she took her a bath and powdered. And you know why? Because Eliezer by then had convinced her of one thing. I come after a bride. She said, but am I pretty enough, Eliezer? He said, you don't understand. You're beautiful to my eyes. But I'm sure she was a beautiful woman. And he said, I chose you. Did he? Because he had a ride. He went over there. Go down there and get me a wife for my kinfolks. Wouldn't that's what his daddy said? The boy didn't have anything to do with it. Father sent him down there. It's in Eliezer. Because he knew Eliezer's nature and ways and things, and he knew he wouldn't go down there and get him an ugly. He'd get him a beautiful woman. But he wanted beautiful character more than anything in the world. And she sure didn't smell too good when she watered all of them camels. When them things can drink, what is it, 36 gallons of water it takes to fill up one camel? There's a story about that or something, but I don't know. This thing's not made on how beautiful we are and how much we smell, what kind of a church we've got. But we just, y'all up at Lula, y'all just don't have a church nice enough for us. We're not in debt. We don't have to pick our people for the money to get to pay for the things. Did you understand? She didn't put herself up. She just jumped off that camel and took off. But you know why? She knew she was already accepted. Do you understand the laws they had that when Eliezer went out there with the words from Isaac's father that ever who Eliezer brought back would be the wife of Isaac? left up to Eliezer. I think Brother Branham's done a good job beating us around and scaring us out and washing us and getting us ready. It's about time to go meet him. We're not going up in the air either. We're going to meet him out here in the field somewhere. Not out in the field. You know what I'm saying? We're going to meet him in this dimension because he's coming here. He'll be a little above ground, yes, and then we'll go up. But he's coming here so visible among us until he can raise the dead. And then we'll see him in the air and go meet him. Just a dimensional change. I'll get to that one of these days on that glorified. It's just a change. Just up in the air and we're gone. The bride of Christ. He knows what his bride is going to look like because he saw all of us before the world, even the color of our hair. Come on, brothers, let's stand. Even the color of our hairs, he knows exactly what we're going to look like. You know, he reads the Word too. You know that God reads the Word? You want the Bible for it? Well, one day he walked in the temple and picked up a Bible and he sat down to... Come on. Right in the book of Luke. He read the Bible. He turned around and said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled." He read his own word. I was testifying a little bit today to the doctor there. You know. He said, "Sam," said, "you're not going to die of this leukemia." Said, "You got the kind you don't die with." Said, "Won't die from." Said, "You die with it." I said, "Don't intend to die." He looked at me. I said, "The Bible says we're changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye." I want to be one of them.
Amen.
You know, cringed just a little bit like he hadn't thought it very much. And he said, "Yeah, that's right. Yeah." But see, church, he's coming after a bride that's made herself ready. Go ahead, brother.
41 in the spiral book.
Anybody have a need, just come and let's talk about that. Talk about that Savior.
No one had drifted on the flood's many day. He searched far land in various ways. Troubles he had, but not from above. Gave him his sign on the wings of a dove.
You see it there on the front of the pulpit? My wife put it there years ago on the wings of a dove. God sends this pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Anybody have a need? Think about him.
Jesus, our Savior, came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay.
Have some arteries cleaned out? Yeah. So, let's just ask God to be with him. Let's just ask him to take it away. Brother Boyd, standing back here. They've done proved that she had them. Now, one time they did have to operate. But one time we went in there and prayed, and the doctor come back, and he said, "Well, it's hiding. We just can't find it." Sent her home. I believe in God being a deliverer, don't you? A healer. Father, just reach down and touch our buddy, Lord, that he don't have to have this operated on. We believe you. And Father, we just commit everything into your hands at believing by your stripes, Tommy's healed. Take us away, Lord, and this old diabetic condition, all these things that's bothering him. We ask you to deliver him, Father. And just let everything be gone. Bring it all back into you, Lord. In your love we ask it in Jesus' name. Bless you, buddy. Anybody else?
Not from above. God gave us his Son on the wings of a dove.
Sing it again. Jesus our Savior.
Jesus our Savior came to earth one day. He was born in a stable, in a manger of hay.
Last year, let's believe that God will be with him. Put this in your billfold and keep it with you, okay? Lord Jesus, we ask you, Father, that you would just reach down and touch our buddy. He's going to school. He wants to finish, get everything done. We believe you. So you be there with him. You comfort him, guide him, take care of him. Give him the answer to all the questions. But give him a life to live before others that they may see you, Lord. And that his life here in school be an example to others about Christ. In Jesus' name. This is what Brother Branham sung there, right on the wings of a dove when he was finished. I cried for healing. You remember what happened? He saw the dove. He saw a finished product. And that animal couldn't strike him in the throat anymore. Make him sick. He gave me his Son of a dove, on the wings of a snow white.
God sends his pure sweet love, sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Flood many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God gave him his Son. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sends his pure sweet love, sign from above.
On the wings of a dove,
Noah
had some. Anybody else? Me away.
Both night and day, faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. Gave me his Son on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow. God sends his pure, sweet love, sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Thank you.
Savior. Came? Anybody else?
Day.
Born in the state. Just think about him. Think about him. He's the one that's made everything possible for us. I sung a little thing years ago on it. But I could never probably. I was thinking, trying to get the words together. But I remember we sung this song, and I sung something like, though the bride has suffered in many a way, she's been crying for her deliverance both night and day. She's not forgotten by the Father above, because he sent down his love on the wings of a dove. That's where we're at. We are his offspring. We are his children. That's why Brother Branham would come to the bases saying, I'm not a child of Child and Elder Branham. He come to realize who he was, a child of God. Is that what we realize? Father, we thank you for this night, and we ask you to just be with us and bless us, Lord. Give understanding to our hearts as we go on our way, Lord, and just bless us. Bless Brother Quinn as he meditates to speak to us this weekend and feed our souls, because that's what we desire, Lord, is to hear more about you. And just guide each one of us. Bless and take care of everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your loving grace be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You did.